Sedasky, Atari 8-Bit Productivity Podcast, Season 1, Episode 11.
Hello and welcome back. This episode features A Financial Wizard by Computari. This software won't slice, it won't dice, it won't chop, and it won't shred. But what it will do, in a user-friendly fashion, is help you balance your checkbook and set up a budget. Some of the features include check reconciliation, multicolor graphic charts with full graphic printing, budget projections, and expense comparisons. Computari formerly sold Personal Finance, and A Financial Wizard supersedes that version. Computari is a company that is no longer around. I'm not sure when it went out of business, but the trademark was abandoned in July of 1984. And you can visit the website for some ads for A Financial Wizard.
Technical data.
A Financial Wizard was published twice, in 1982 and again in 1984. Both versions were 1.5. The publisher was Online Computer Centers of Oklahoma City. The developer was Computari. I don't know who the programmers were. It was distributed on disk. It required 24K of memory and the basic cartridge. Optionally, you could use a second disk drive. The price was $49.95 in January of 1982, and on the second release in February of 1984, the price had increased to $59.95. Now, in today's dollars, the 1982 price would be equivalent to $123.84, and the 1984 cost in today's dollars would be $137.92. I was unable to locate a copy, so I can't tell you anything about the manual.
Usage notes.
Before I get too involved in this, first give you a few facts about the program. You can store 100 checks per month, or 220 if you use two drives. It supports 26 major expense categories and 36 sub-expense categories. In the single drive configuration, it's designed to store all the data on the program disk, though with careful swapping, you can store it on a separate disk. In the two drive scenario, the data is stored on the second disk. All right, let's boot it up and see what it does. Ooh, nice graphic. So what you just heard was the menu. Every time the menu loads, you get that nice little robotic sound. The main menu has 9 basic functions. You have check entry, budget entry, check search, tabulations, bar graph, check balancer, check writer, utilities, and quit. We'll cover each here. One of the things I did to utilize this program was to create a mock budget. And I tried to integrate some real-world transactions into it to make it feel real, even though the money numbers are not actually legitimate. Module 1, Check Entry. This module is used for entering your transactions, which could be checks or they could be deposits. The first thing you notice with check entry is that the screen is money-colored green. The screen is divided up into a few sections. The top section has a list of all the expense categories. The middle section has the prompt for what field you are entering. And the bottom section has all the pertinent fields for a check, like the month, the day, the check number, your payee, the expense category, the subcategory, and the amount. And at the very bottom, it shows you what your current checkbook balance is. Check numbers are limited to 4 digits. Normally, I would say this is okay, but today, we don't use a lot of checks, or some of us don't. So if you enter in things like ATM or debit, you'll run into a problem searching later because the program is relying on the check number being unique. And of course, if you enter ATM, then that's not unique if you're doing that on many transactions. The payee field is limited to 11 characters, which I find is a little bit short. A few more characters would have been nice, but you can make do with it. And the amount field is limited to 5 whole numbers and 2 decimals. After you've entered in the last field, which is amount, you press start to accept the record, or you can keep editing the other fields and then press start when you're done. When you get to the next record, the month and the day will be retained, and the focus will be on the day. And you just press Escape to exit. When you do that, you'll be asked to enter a new month or to go back to the main menu. So if it's right after the first of the month and you're entering checks for the end of the month and a new month, and you're doing it out of order, you may have to bounce back and forth between this screen just to change the month number. Item 2, Budget Entry. The budget entry screen is sort of a confusing interface. At the top of it, you have all the different categories for your budget. And then the middle section, you have where you actually input the data, and the bottom section is mainly instructions. The confusing part is that you start off and you have to enter your income first. So you have to select the month, and then you'll put in the salary. And then you will go through and pick your expense categories, and then you put in the amount for each one. Now, if you want an expense category to span all 12 months, then you would follow the amount with a forward slash. To change months while you're entering your budget, you have to use the greater than key, and that will ask you for the new month. And to quit this one, you use the asterisk key. So what you're going to notice right away is that there is no consistency between the modules when exiting or changing months. Menu item 3, check search. The check search input form is divided into two different sections. The top section shows you all the different expense categories, and the bottom section are the fields that you can search on. And the search is pretty robust. The screen is red, and you're allowed to search on payee, expense category, subcategory, check number or a range of checks, a month or a range of months, a day or a range of days, and an amount or an arrange of amounts. Now, you can specify to send the output to a printer as well, which will dump a copy of what's displayed on the screen at its completion. When it displays the items on the screen, if there are more items than will fit, they will scroll off the top as new ones are added to the bottom. If you look at the search results screenshot on the website, you'll see the check numbers that I devised to try and make them unique, where I used a letter and then two digits, which represented the day, and then the first letter of the place where I was making a purchase. But that method really is kind of confusing, and it didn't work out too well because you still end up with some that are not unique. Menu item 4, tabulations. This item generates a couple of different reports, the first of which is expenses compared to budget by month, and the second is expenses compared to budget by category. So you'll need to enter the month here, and if you're generating the category report, you'll also need to enter the category. That was the sound of the tabulations display being created. Once the display is generated, you can press P to get a hard copy printout, or press M to go back to the tabulations menu. If you do print, you go back to the tabulations menu automatically when it's done. Menu item 5, bar graph. This lets you chart 1 month's expenses for all categories, or one category's expenses over 12 months. First, you choose the graph you want, then you choose your type of printer. It's then displayed to the screen and dumped to the printer. After the dump to the printer is complete, the screen is modified to say press any key to continue at the top. You do that and you return to the bar chart menu. The charts it creates are basically black and white charts, and the category only one is much easier to read than the expenses for all categories. And again, you can find samples of the screenshots and printouts on the website. Menu item 6, check balancer. This does what you think and helps you balance your checkbook. You start by entering the statement ending balance. This threw me at first because I couldn't enter a statement starting balance, so it assumes that everything is balanced at the beginning. Next, you enter the month number, and then you actually start doing the reconciliation. Now, it has some awkward controls because you use D and U to navigate up and down instead of the arrow keys. You press asterisk to clear a check, and then the cursor will move down automatically. Press Q when all the checks have been cleared. Once you're done, it will process the data and give you a summary showing any difference in outstanding entries. If it doesn't balance or doesn't come back to zero, you get an explosion sound and the message, nice try. If it does balance, you get the message, by Jove, the financial wizard did it, and a short song plays. Either way, you press 1 for the main menu, 2 for the check balancer menu, or 3 to print a copy. Menu item 7, check writer. This allows you to print checks on pre-formatted stock. You first need to enter the date as the month, the day, and a year, and it has to be in the 1900s. It will not work past 1999. You can't use a day-compatible year, like 1987 for 2015, to get around this, because if you did, the checks would be printed with the year 1987 and would be no good. Due to the date limitation, I couldn't produce a valid output for you to look at, but I could walk the screens as it worked, finding zero matches. Menu item 8, utilities. The utility menu has 8 different options. First is audit your checkbook. Second is create monthly files. Third is change expense categories. Fourth is clear expense files. Fifth is clear budget files. Sixth is correct expense files. Seventh is end of year outstanding check transfer to a New Year's disk. Or the last one, which is zero, which is return to main menu. The utilities menu is full of some annoying sounds, such as the one you just heard. Number 1, audit your checkbook. This shows the current and beginning of year balance, and while it's running through its calculations, it has a nifty spinning plus sign. It displays 12 months of deposits and expenses and each month's ending balance. When it's done, you can press Option to get a hard copy. Utility item 2, create monthly files. Are you sure? That tone is continuous until you decide that you really want to do this. So what this item does is help you create your monthly data disks. First, you need to decide if you're going to use one drive and one disk for 100 transactions per month, or two drives and two disks for 220 transactions per month. Now, choose wisely, because after you set it, you can't change it. When using two drives, your data disk will always be in drive 2. It's going to ask you if the disk is formatted, and you must do it rather than let the program do it. Then it's going to ask you about 4 files being transferred from the master disk to this new data disk. If they're not there, you have to exit and do it yourself, then come back. It will not do it for you. So be prepared, have your disk formatted, and have the 4 files copied onto it before you execute this function. If all is good, it'll create the files by month on disk and then return you to the menu. Utilities item 3, change expense categories. This lets you change the descriptions of each of the expense categories. Items A through U are expense categories, V is an income category, and W through Z are for record keeping. I don't know what the W through Z were actually used for because I don't have the manual. This uses a free form editor. You move around the screen with the arrow keys, changing the text you want. You press return when you're done to acknowledge that everything has changed. And when you do so, if you pay very close attention, you'll see this program walk through the screen grabbing your input. Utility item 4, clear expense files. So here you get the warning tone again until you acknowledge what you're doing, by pressing Ctrl-C to proceed. So because this is a destructive function, which is going to wipe out all your expense data on the current disk, you also have to type in yes before it actually does anything. Utility item 5, clear budget files. So yeah, you get the warning tone again until you press Ctrl-C to proceed. And again, because this is going to destroy all the budget data on your disks, you also have to type in yes to acknowledge it. Utility item 6, correct expense files. Without the manual and without instruction on screen, I don't know what exactly this does. I suspect it may remove deleted entries and compact the files on the disk. However, the only thing that you're asked is which month you want to work with, or you can press asterisk to quit. Once you enter a month, you'll see it correcting that month with asterisks going across the screen while it works. Utility Item 7, End of Year Outstanding Check Transfer to New Year's Disk. You use this at the end of the year to transfer your outstanding checks to a new month. This lets you keep the previous 12 months' worth of disks without having to overwrite them all the time, thus giving you your history. Utility Menu Item 0, Return to Main Menu. Do we really need to talk about that? And last, Main Menu Item 9, Quit. Again, I'm not going to talk about that. That pretty much wraps up the program features. Now I want to talk about the files for a minute. I always like poking around data files to see what's in them, and this program was no exception. So there are 16 different files on the data disk. The first I want to talk about is the BAL file, or BAL. This has your account balance information. It's in ASCII format, so you can read it. The next file is budget.dat, and this has your budget information in it. And it is pretty much all binary, although there are some bits that you can read. The next is cktote.dat, which is your checking total, I presume. It's all binary. And then you have expcat.dat, which is expense categories, and it's all ASCII. And then the last 12 files are your monthly checking data, and they are checkdat.m1 through 12. And those are all ASCII files as well, so you can read them.
Fun facts.
First, you could purchase a 10-disc holder, which was clear plastic, for an additional $4 at time of purchase. But as advertised, it only holds Financial Wizard discs, so don't try and mix anything else in there. Second, it was sold exclusively through online computer centers in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Third, there was a $10 upgrade from personal finance if you sent the original disc back in.
Summary.
Overall, this was not a bad program. It was nice being able to work with two disc drives and not have to swap discs, and it worked pretty quickly for everything that it did. The search was also a huge bonus because it was very flexible and allowed you to find pretty much anything you wanted. Really, the only downside is that it's not Y2K compliant. Some of the print functions and some calculations require 20th century dates, 1900 to 1999. You can use a day comparable year, such as 1987 for 2015, but when you write checks, it'll show 1987, and of course you wouldn't be able to cash it. So I guess on to complaints. First up, there's no browsing, and I've already said this numerous times, I really can't stand not having navigation when you're looking at database type data. On top of that, I had a hard time with edits. The awkward combination of select plus option was very difficult through emulation. Next up is search. While it does provide a lot of flexibility in finding records, once it returns its results, it doesn't let you edit or delete directly from there. Next, there's no direct method of printing, so you have to use search to find the items and then print. And last, the custom keyboard input routine was sometimes slow and generally missed characters if you tried to type too fast. So I guess that list wasn't really too bad, especially considering one of them was my issue because I was trying to do this through emulation and not on the real hardware. But there are a lot of things I did like about it. It was very simple and easy to use, which is huge for the personal market. I also like the fact that the checkbook balance is displayed at all times during check entry. Some other programs don't do that. And because of that, it's very easy to check your balance just by entering the check entry routine and then exiting back out. Unlike some other programs, which shall remain nameless right now, you don't have to load and save your files as you work with them. It's done automatically for you. And last, One thing that was really well done was error trapping. So it's the release year, 1982. Would I use this software? Sure, it works as expected. Data entry is straightforward and clearly defined process. On top of that, it's extremely easy to use. Okay, from a retro point of view, would I use it? Maybe. It depends on if there is something better that I have not yet featured on this podcast. So far, and I'm very early in, it's the best checkbook program I've done. So, I guess the answer is yes right now. So, like I said earlier, overall it's not a bad program, and I'm going to give it a bit rating of 6. And this is mainly because there was not an easy way to navigate the register and delete entries. The other thing that really disturbed me is the graphs were not very easy to read. So if they had used more color or somehow maybe changed it up just a little bit, it would have been much better, I think. But like I said, overall, it's not a bad program. So a 6 it is.
Special thanks.
I'd like to thank everybody that has been listening for the last 10 episodes, or make that 11 episodes now, and everybody that has given me feedback, both positive and negative, and also anybody that has gone out to iTunes and contributed to the feedback there. If you haven't done so, please do so, because it'll help other people with minds similar to yours find this podcast. I'd also like to thank Rob from Player Missile for the numerous mentions in his latest podcast, as well as Antic and the Atari 2600 Game by Game podcast. By the way, Ferg, I'm having a hard time with the Ferg quest. And wow, what a difference that 10th episode made. I had a 20% increase in the number of followers on Twitter. Go me! Seriously though, thank you for continuing to support and listen to this podcast. And I'd also like to thank WizWars for licensing their chiptune 8-bit raceway in such a fashion that I was able to use it as part of the intro to this podcast.
Contact information.
The show notes can be found on inverseataski.info. It can be found on iTunes using the search term Ataski or Atari. It can be found on Facebook at facebook.com/inverseataski, and you can also follow on Twitter with @inverseataski. To leave comments or suggestions, you can email wade@inverseataski.info or inverseataski@icloud.com. And inverseataski is also available on Stitcher. As always, thanks for listening, and stay tuned for the next episode. It was distributed on disk. It required 20 feet. Then you're not going to be able to find, how do I say that? You use this at the end of the year to set up a new 12 months worth of disks. That's not right.
Goodbye.